4CRB 89.3 FM, your radio station.
And a very good morning to you. It's John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group back with you for another program of The Law Anew this Tuesday morning. Your opportunity to get free legal advice between now and 9:30. All you need to do is get on that telephone as soon as you possibly can. 5520 8888 is the number. That number again, 5520 8888. If you're south of the Tweed River, don't forget you need 07 in front of the number. Otherwise, north of the Tweed River, Tweed Heads and north into Queensland, you can call straight through. 5520 8888. And we've got a couple of callers online already. One who's been waiting there very patiently. John, good morning. John, how are you today?
Morning, John. It's your namesake here, John.
Absolutely. From one John to another. How can I help you today?
A question about wills, John.
Sure.
Where a spouse has predeceased the other,
mm-hmm.
and the original will applied to or similar wills almost matched each other,
mm-hmm.
And they had a common executor.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a bit of ill feeling with that executor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in changing or replacing him or appointing another executor,
mm-hmm.
has he got the right to appeal that decision, and to what court would he go?
Do you mean the executor of the will of the person who's died or the
yes.
will of the... Well, if he's the executor under the will of the person who's passed away, it is only a court that can make an order to replace him or her as the executor. And unless the executor is wanting to stand down for particular reasons, normally the court will require fairly strong evidence as to why they should be replaced. The most common thing is where the executor has failed to carry out their duties as executor. In fact, I'm involved in a matter at the moment where an executor basically has done nothing in relation to the administration of an estate for about 8 years, and another legal colleague of mine sought to have me appointed as the administrator of the estate on the grounds that nothing was being done in relation to the administration of the estate, and that that order has been made by the court. So that's quite often the reasoning, is if the executor is failing to fulfil their duties as the executor, or alternatively, if they're misusing their position.
Misuse of position, is it, John? This person, in the execution of the previous will, has favoured certain members of his family on that side of the estate.
Yep. Well, that's clearly a conflict of interest. So what I would be recommending you do in relation to it, John, is one of the beneficiaries, one or more of the beneficiaries under the will should seek legal representation, probably best to seek common legal representation so that you just have one set of legal fees. Go through all the circumstances of the matter with the engaged lawyer, and on the basis of that, determine whether there are grounds to bring an application to the court to have the executor replaced. But conflict of interest is certainly one of the grounds on which you can challenge an incumbent executor.
Okay, and who would pay the cost?
Probably the cost would come out of the estate, although in the matter that I've just been involved with, I noticed that the court made an order that the executor pay the costs.
Oh,
so
good.
Quite interesting. All right, then.
Thanks, John.
Okay, then, John, all the very best. And the time is just, where are we? Just come up to, nearly up to 10 minutes past nine as we say a very good morning to Frederick. G'day, Frederick. How are you today?
Yeah, quite good, Jim. Again, a question regarding will and enduring power of attorney.
Sure.
I understand in Queensland, I had this very old form too. Is that still adequate? But I understood in the program it was changed. Is it correct? In Queensland?
This is the form of enduring power of attorney.
Yes.
Yes, right. So, look, I just can't remember off the top of my head the number of the form, but
Because
is it a document that goes to about seven pages or so?
Moved to New South Wales, and the power, enduring power of attorney is different. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Although an enduring power of attorney made in Queensland will be recognised in New South Wales. The form in New South Wales is actually two documents. So you have what's called the enduring power of attorney, and you also have the enduring guardianship, which is basically the health decisions, and the enduring power of attorney is the financial decisions.
Right. And regarding appointing actually attorneys or trustees actually in the will, I was considering maybe three people, but I wanted to give the first person actually basically decision power, and the second and third one only is observing or control power. Is there a way to stipulate in the will, and maybe also in the enduring power of attorney, that you give the first trustee or attorney more power than the others?
I've never seen that, Frederick. What I have seen is a document that says that I appoint Joe Brown as my trustee, but if he is unable or unwilling to carry out the duties, then I appoint Bill Smith. And if Bill Smith is unable or unwilling, then I appoint, Roger Ramjet. I've seen it done like that, but I've never seen a document where it is basically provided that there's to be two people who are observer, trustees. I'll have a look at that and maybe make a comment on it next week, but I just have my doubts about whether it would be possible to do that.
Yeah. The thing is, having financial situations in order with a financial planner, but I intend to appoint actually one person who knows a little bit my house, and car and something like this.
Yep.
So basically, I would appoint the one who knows actually me personally and more directly in charge, and the other one more or less for functioning of distributing the benefits or the gifts.
Right, okay. Well, yes, look, let me take a look at that. Certainly in a power of attorney, you can have one attorney who looks after financial matters, and you can have another attorney appointed or under the guardianship that looks after your personal and health matters. In fact, in Queensland, you can do that also, even in the one document, although you wouldn't use what they refer to as the short form power of attorney, although it goes to about 8 pages. There is what's called a long form of power of attorney, which permits you to appoint one attorney for your financial matters and then a separate attorney for personal and health decisions. So you can certainly do it with power of attorney, but I'll need to look at it in terms of a will. So basically what you would do is you would have, I mean, the big issue, of course, is how is it determined whether the original trustee is doing the right thing or not? And then if the second and third attorneys, trustees determine that the first trustee is not doing the right thing, what's the mechanism to intervene? I think probably, what you could do is you could appoint three trustees and you could express a desire in the will that trustee A is the one who is to look after the financial issues, and that trustee B is to make the decisions on when distributions will take place, because the will itself would determine what those distributions are. So it might be possible to do it that way, where there's an expression of desire that they work that way, rather than saying that this trustee has all the power, but these two have the power to observe and then some mechanism. All right, but look, leave it with me, Frederick, and I'll comment on it next week for you.
I'm just trying to think practical, so I'm dead now, what will happen, and it's a practical thing I would really favour than one person to the other.
Well, then it may be that what you need to do is appoint that first person as their trustee, and if they're unable or unwilling, only in that instance does the second person take over. But we might need to leave it there, Frederick, because unfortunately we've got a switchboard full of calls. But I'll comment on it again next week. This is 4CRB 89.3 FM. The Law and You is the program, 5520888, the number. It's 15 and a half minutes past nine. As we say, good morning to Hazel. G'day, Hazel. How are you?
Yes, good morning. I almost lost my voice while I'm waiting for you.
Oh, sorry, it took that long.
That's okay.
How can I help?
I'm ringing on behalf of four siblings.
Mm-hmm.
Their father died, and although someone lived in close proximity, but, you know, 10 minutes drive away, the executor of the will did not let any of his family know until about 8 months after he was dead and buried.
And, what, they didn't let them know that he'd passed away or didn't let them know that he was the executor?
They did not. The executor, and they said there was money left to them.
Mm-hmm.
And this was many, many months ago. Mm. So 8 months they were notified. There was money left to the executor. She's a woman who lived just down the road
mm-hmm.
On a pension. He was a wealthy man, a wealthy businessman. He left some money, and she got paid herself out few days afterwards. The people, nephews and nieces who lived in England, they got paid fairly quickly, and whatever was left was to go to these poor siblings. They're not children, they're adults.
Mm-hmm.
And fill the form in, don't contest the will, don't speak about it to anyone, and the money will be coming forward. Mm. That was on the end of the list.
Well, they're getting what's called the residue of the estate.
That is correct, but they're still supposed to be quite a considerable amount of money.
Mm.
Well, they did all this and money didn't come. They waited for weeks and weeks and weeks, got in touch with the solicitor, it says, not his problem, would like to know, and they still haven't been fully paid out. Coming.
Well, what they need to do is ask for a full accounting of the estate. They're entitled to receive that, what the assets and liabilities are and how they've been distributed. And if they don't receive that, then what they need to do is engage a lawyer to make those demands. And it may be that there will be a claim against the executor for acting inappropriately in relation to the administration of the estate. All right, then.
Another question. So where do you find a lawyer?
Where are they? New South Wales or Queensland? Which state are they in?
Queensland.
Okay. What and whereabouts in Queensland?
Manly, I think.
All right. Well, what I would suggest you do is ring the Queensland Law Society. Have you got a pen handy? Have you got a pen?
Yes, I'll write that down.
Okay. So the Queensland Law Society. The number is 1300. 367 757, and just ask for a recommendation to a lawyer who's most convenient to them, who specialises in the area of succession law, wills and estates. All right, then?
All right, so do you think they've got any redress against the...
On the facts you've outlined, I think they would, but we'll have to leave it there, Hazel. We've got a lot of calls to get through. Thanks for the call. Cheers now.
Thank you, Father.
And a very good morning to Chris. G'day, Chris. How are you today? Chris, are you there?
Oh, yes. Good morning.
How can I help, Chris?
I'm just revising our will, and we have a super fund.
Mm-hmm.
And I was under the impression that the previous will from many years ago had actually been able to bring the super fund into the will, but I've been told that that's no, and I need a binding
death benefit nomination. No, you're quite right. Superannuation is not an asset that can be dealt with under your will. So you do need to make a binding death benefit nomination. Is it a retail or an industry fund, or is it a self-managed fund?
It's a self-managed fund.
Self-managed fund. Okay. So presumably if it's you and your husband, what would happen is that the survivor of you would continue on with the super fund. And then, both of you should have a binding death benefit nomination in place, which leaves the benefit of the super to each other. Then on your death, on the death of both of you, you need to consider where the super will go. If you don't have any, minor children, so infant children who are still financially dependent upon you, then you may need to do a binding death benefit nomination that leaves the super to your legal personal representative on the death of the survivor of you. And the legal personal representative is actually the executor under your will. But what I would suggest you do is you need to get some good legal advice in relation to how this needs to be dealt with, Chris, because I see this mistake time and time again where people have left their super to someone under their will only to find out later that the provision in the will is completely ineffective. All right, then?
Okay, because the bulk of the money's in the super fund.
Yes, so that's why it becomes absolutely critical to deal with it.
Did you just say the executor?
Well, it very well may be that your binding death benefit nomination will, in the end result, be to your legal personal representative, which is the executor under the will, and then the super will go into your estate and be distributed according to the terms of your will. But you need to go through that all very carefully with your lawyer to make sure that's the best way of dealing with it.
Could we just one more quick question?
Sure.
Make it to one person, but you also said something about we have three adult children.
Right, okay.
So we make that binding nomination between the three adult children?
You can, but there are tax disadvantages in doing that. That's why it's advisable to get some advice on it before you actually do it.
Okay, that makes things different again. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Chris, all the very best.
Thank you.
Time on 4CRB, just coming up to 22 minutes past nine, as we say a very good morning to Judith. G'day, Judith. How are you?
I can't really tell you how I feel. I feel really isolated.
Right.
And I cannot... My son in the fire brigade lives with me.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter just lives in the same suburb, you know, another 10-minute walk or so for me. And I tried to ring her and she not answering.
Mm-hmm.
And my son got angry with me because I've hurt my leg, you see, and I'm not allowed to drive my car anymore. Even not because of my leg and also because of my age. But I just don't know what to do about their reaction to, you know, they're not sort of, I feel isolated. I just feel I've got nobody to talk to and to discuss it with me, and it just sort of helped me out, you know.
Right. Look, I'll give you a phone number, Judith, that you can ring. It's a phone number where they have people who can assist older people with issues like you have. Have you got a pen handy?
Yeah, I've got a pen. So, okay. Because my pen's gone out of ink. Yes, go on.
Okay, so the number is 1300.
1300.
651.
651.
192.
192.
So if you give them a call, they will be able to tell you about services that might be available in your particular area that would be able to help you. So you're here on the Gold Coast, are you?
Yes, just down from the University Hospital.
Okay, yes. So if you give that number a call, they certainly would be able to help. The other alternatives, of course, would be to ring either you could, for example, ring Lifeline, or you could ring Anglicare. Unfortunately, I don't have their numbers in front of me, but
they're in the phone book.
But they are in the phone book, yes. And Anglicare have services that are available where they come and assist people at home when they're recovering from illness and that sort of thing. So it very well may be that you'll be able to find some assistance there.
Yes, but is there any way around, getting the message through to my son and my daughter?
Is there some other member of the family or a friend or relative you can speak to who might be able to intercede with them for you?
No, it's only my sister up in Toowoomba.
Well, why don't you give her a call and see if she can ring your son or daughter and ask them to...
You won't be able to do that because I'm flat out getting through to Toowoomba myself.
Right. Okay. Do you want the number? Do you want the number for Anglicare? Would you like the number for Anglicare?
Yeah, it'd be better than nothing at all.
Okay. So take this number down. It's 1300.
1300.
610.
610.
610.
610.
Mm. Give them a call, Judith, and hopefully they'll be able to assist you. All right, then?
All right, thank you. So there's nothing else I can do about the attitude of my family?
Not really,
Judith. It's a family
matter, isn't it? Well, it is a family matter, but I think that's why those two numbers I've given you could be of assistance, because they may be able to get someone to get involved with for you. Are you involved in a church at all?
Not at the moment. I used to be. I am a Church of England. Have been.
Yeah.
And I come from up in Brisbane and the Darling Downs and all that. I grew up on the Darling Downs.
No, I was just thinking that if you had, a parish church where you were attending at the moment, you might have been able to speak to the priest or something like that. But in the absence of that, give those two numbers a call that I've recommended to you. So ring those two numbers and hopefully they'll be able to assist you. But we'll have to leave it there, Judith. Unfortunately, we've got a number of other calls at the moment.
Look, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. All the very best. And by all means, feel free to ring back if you're still not getting any assistance. All right?
Yes, well, that's right. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, Judith, all the very best. And we say a very good morning to Raymond. G'day, Raymond. How are you today?
Hello.
Yes, Raymond, how can we help you today?
Well, my mother died in February and she left me as a main beneficiary of the will.
Mm-hmm.
And it's with the public trustee.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent me a copy of the will. However, that probate has been paid.
Mm-hmm.
But they won't tell me how much probate it was.
Mm-hmm. So, well, probate is actually a process. So all that means is that your mother's will has been proved to be the last will and testament. So are you more interested in finding out how much is in the estate?
That's right.
Mm. Well, they certainly should tell you that because are you the only beneficiary under the will?
My sister and brother are executors and they were supposed to get the furniture.
Right, okay. Well, you need to speak to the public trustee's office and tell them that you want to know, you want details of the assets
already
and liabilities of the estate, and they've failed to give you that information.
That's right, they have.
Right, okay. All right, so I'm just wondering, probably one of the ombudsman services, I think, would be the best idea to call. Have you got a pen handy?
Just a moment.
Mm-hmm. Are you there, Raymond? Hello? Raymond, are you there? Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yeah, okay, so have you got a pen, Raymond?
Yeah.
Okay, so the number is 1-800-068.
Hello?
Yeah, the number is 1-800.
Yeah.
068.
1-800.
068.
068.
Yep, 908.
Just a moment. 06. Yeah.
908.
901.
Yep, 908.
Thank you.
Okay, so call that number. That's the Ombudsman Service for Queensland that deals with complaints against government departments and that sort of thing.
908.
908, yes. All right, then. All the very best. Now, we still have Michael and Leonie online. Unfortunately, we'll have to take those calls off here. So this is John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group. It's been great to be with you this morning for The Law and You. I'll look forward to being back with you again next week. But as always, until then, goodbye and God bless.